This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Everybody point it if you're itch.
Nice. I think it was even better the second time.
Maybe.
Even though our listeners only heard it the one time.
Sons of guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 points. So I screamed like that.
Well,
the key.
The key is the lip.
Okay.
Right. That's the key.
There's a lot of things going on. A lot of cues.
You know, doing professional radio is difficult. That's why
duopodies.
That's why we don't do it here at Free Talk Live. It's too many things. It's all these, like, pointing and buttons and calls and callers. And
I don't know, man. I just sit here.
There's, you know, I don't know, you know.
My New Year's resolution is to do the puke voice more often on air.
What is that?
Well, that's the voice that kind of sounds like this. It's the, you know, cheesy radio announcer guy. It's called puking when you talk like this, and it's all nasally.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not doing it. Tell me not doing it.
Do it.
That's what I love about Free Talk Live.
Do
we don't do the puke voice.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Likas does the puke voice. Yes, it's the Tom Likas Show. 1-800-580-866. That's his old toll-free number.
So okay.
All right.
Surprised I remember.
Just
surprised just gave
voice?
Us somebody else's number on it.
They're going to call. They're going to call.
No.
Gonna, Our number, however, is
603-283-6160.
Tell me who that guy is.
That's Richie Rich.
Tell me who this girl is.
That's Nikki.
Tell me who I am.
You're the captain.
What do we do here?
Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
What is it?
The talk radio show where we talk about things from the perspective of peace and freedom.
Very well. So, last segment we talked about the dynamic doulas. And that is a pair of... Apparently, you can phone it in now if you're given home childbirth.
If you're a doula and need work, just hang out on Facebook until someone messages you.
That's usually what I do. I've actually gotten a lot of business on Facebook. That's why I refuse to delete it. I get so many clients from Facebook.
Yeah, it's... while I'm no fan of Mr. M. Efferberg's method of running his platform... Mm-hmm. His interactions with the federales and other government agencies. It still has its use.
I don't love Facebook, but I do love money.
Speaking of money, you guys seen Office Space?
Yes,
absolutely.
I have.
Were they like...
Pennies?
Yeah, they skimmed, you know...
And Superman 3.
Portions of pennies, you know, out of these bank accounts and put them into a separate account.
Yeah, and it turns out to be like millions of dollars.
And of course, the libertarian meme is like, So how is that not stealing? Well, it becomes ours, but it wasn't yours to begin with. No.
It's a rounding error.
It's a rounding error.
It would just fall off otherwise. You just round it into your account.
Huh?
Well, apparently a Seattle tech worker was inspired by Office Space, and he netted $300,000 in alleged software scheme.
See, here's the thing that's dumb about that, right? He's inspired by Office Space. In Office Space... They kind of get caught, sort of, right? Like, the error's found, but the...
I'll burn the building down.
Right, but the building burns down before anything can be done about it.
Right, and the returned check, too, because remember they were giving the
right.
money back and slid
right.
it under the door or whatever.
Right, yeah. And Office Space was riffing on, like, Superman 3, right, where he also got caught.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the scheme is funny, but every time it happens in film, they get caught. And so I don't understand why, you know, someone who's inspired by the movie goes like, oh, no.
Well, this is real life. So in
okay.
real life, he's definitely not going to get caught.
Okay. It's not
except
real.
He did.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, except that it proves the, you know, the meme.
We'll talk more about this particular gentleman and how he allegedly received, you know, 300 grand.
It'll be allegedly,
scheme.
Even if he's found guilty by a jury of his peers.
Yeah. But first, let's go to Jerome in South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just got a couple of stories here I got to ask you about. You know, I mean,
All right, but can you turn down whatever's in the background?
It's not even listening to our show.
Those stories on the news.
It's just almost as loud as your voice, so it sounds weird.
Sorry.
Is it MSNBC or CNN?
Oh, Jerome listens to Fox, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Jerome.
What does Fox News say?
I want to hear the update on Hannity and his new concubine girlfriend. This Fox reporter, after he left his wife for 27 years.
Well, you've called the wrong show for that information.
Yeah, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yep.
No, Sean Hannity, the talk show host, you know, the right-hand man, Donald Trump's left hand. Yeah, he left his wife for 20-something years, and now he goes with this reporter at Fox. But
okay.
Don't tell anybody about it, okay?
Why do you care about this?
I know... Hey, look.
I hope they have a long and loving and happy relationship.
Let me answer the question. Why do you care about this, Jerome?
But he's such a loudmouth and such a jackass.
That's what he gets paid to do.
Sounds like even less of a reason to care.
Yeah. He's always trashing the Democrats all the time, you know, and then look what he got involved with.
They deserve it. They definitely deserve it.
And then you got this T.J. Holmes guy with the reporter. Man, hasn't he ever heard of thou should not bear false witness? I mean, especially against somebody's wife. But then again, he's married, so what the hell does he care? Hey, twice, and having affairs, and now he's with her.
Is this really what you wanted to call Free Talk Live about?
Yeah,
really?
I gotta vent my spleen a little bit. I mean, hey, I haven't called you in like about a week or so.
Did you say you wanted to vent your spleen a little bit?
Kinda, you know, that's what that was about.
You are rivaling Major Payne with your descriptive terminology.
So to speak. But you know, I mean, and then you got Nick Cannon with his 12th child. Is it me or do I find stories like that repulsive? Or is it just me? I'm becoming a conservative? God forbid that could ever happen.
No, Jerome, you should become a libertarian.
No, uh-uh.
Yes.
That's just a conservative and drag.
No, it isn't.
I mean,
well, to me it is.
I mean, there can be, but, you know.
At least on this show.
But that's the point of libertarianism is that you should be accepting of all people who desire for freedom. And if you yourself don't desire for freedom, well, then you should be a conservative or a Democrat. But if you do desire freedom, then you should consider becoming a libertarian or an anarchist.
I got one more story. This guy, Santos from New York, who lies about being Jewish, who lies about his family heritage, lies about your parents. Man, you don't lie about your parents, man.
Is he a politician?
You don't do that.
So he's a politician?
Look, I lost my mom over a year ago, okay? And I think about her every...
That has nothing to do with politicians. So this guy you're complaining about is a politician, yes? Yes, he is. So you know he's a liar. Why do you even pay attention? Why do you pay attention to liars, Jerome?
Look. When the Republicans come off as really self-righteous sometimes.
You're not answering the question. Why do you pay attention to lying? You know they're liars. They keep lying to you. They lie over and over and over again. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. Why do you pay any attention, Jerome?
No, I don't know they're lying until it's found out that they are.
Horse hockey.
I don't know. Because I really don't know.
How many times does a politician have to lie to you before you just know they're lying?
Once.
Yeah.
So I don't think this problem is that they're lying. It's that there's hypocrisy coming from the right.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
They talk a self-righteous game.
Comes from the left, too.
But the left doesn't talk a self-righteous game. The left just does things, and the right talks against it, but does the same thing as the left.
Mm.
So it's not the doing of the thing.
It's the talking.
It's the talking.
Well, that's easily remedied by not listening.
Okay.
Like, if I'm Jerome, I just stop listening to politicians altogether. My life is going to be way happier.
That's what I did. And look at me.
No, you're not. You'd be bored if you didn't listen to that. Because what would you talk about?
Sports. Video games.
No, you would.
Technology.
Doulas.
The doula obligatas.
I don't even follow. I don't even know what that is, video games. I'm too old for that stuff, man.
I wish you weren't.
No, I didn't.
They're fun and phenomenal.
No, but hey, look, it's on the news. I watch the news, and so I guess I get caught up in it sometimes. I can't help it.
All right, that's a a reasonable assertion. Yeah, a fair assessment. Appreciate that.
In other words, I have a life, but it's not it's not a big, you know, big life. It's like kind of like a little, small, insignificant kind of life. But, you know, it is a life.
You know,
I mean, honestly, if I wasn't doing so much reading of news headlines for show prep for this one night a week,
mm-hmm.
right, I would pay so little attention to what's actually going on in the world.
Right.
Yeah, honestly,
me
too.
I don't care.
Yeah. I implore Jerome, you know, just, I don't know, try watching 25% less news. Like, the next time you're like, I should turn on the news, just go, wait, no, I shouldn't, and go do something else. Go be productive.
No, I know why I do it. See, I was like a C-minus student in high school,
yeah.
and I almost quit high school. My mom said, oh, no, you're not. I'm taking you back to school. And she walked me back to school that day, and I managed to graduate. So I guess it's kind of my way of, like, educating myself a little bit. You know, I don't really have a college degree, and I was like a C-minus student. So, but I managed to get in the military, so, hey, I wasn't that bad off. You know, I was smart enough to do that. So.
Well, you know, you definitely don't need to go to college to be intelligent.
We don't even start with this guy. Like,
you know, I mean, my personal favorite pastime, so to speak, is reading. There's a ton of different awesome books that I've learned a ton of stuff about. Even YouTube. You can learn anything on YouTube. But the news is probably the worst place to get information or learn things because it's very biased. You know, even if I used to do the thing where I would watch Fox News and CNN
yep.
to try to balance it out.
Right.
And then I started to realize that they're both liars. So I'm like, well, if I see both sides of the coin, then I'll get the full picture. But you don't get the full picture. So it really doesn't matter what you're watching on the news. It's all fabricated.
You could go the other way, like Nikki's saying. Like, I did this. I had two televisions. And so I would turn Fox News on one, CNN News on the other, same time, like primetime news, right? The 8 p.m., 9 p.m. news, the nightly news, whatever that was that either station was running, their big primetime program. And I would see, oh, they're slanting it this way, and oh, they're slanting it this way.
It's still slanted.
But they were reporting the exact same stories.
Yeah.
And so that's when I sort of began to like, it made me sick, really. Like, I felt like this weird feeling in my gut that I'm like, oh.
Liars.
This is awful.
And when I was younger, I had three TVs, so I could watch Monday Night Raw,
mm-hmm.
Monday Nitro,
mm-hmm.
and play video games
so
at the same time.
Sounds like Ooh, Richie nice. Rich has got the right idea.
I think if this were a contest, Richie Rich, you would win. Jerome, what's Richie's prize? What does he win?
Nothing more fake than wrestling, huh? So
well,
that's what you want.
Politics.
Right? It's amazing.
You talk about a lie. Come on!
All professional wrestling is analogous to American politics.
Sure,
it's fake.
Where both sides, whether they're good or evil, one can move from one side to the other, and then when the show is over, they all go have dinner together and drinks and stuff. It's all just one big show, and there's no actual difference between one side or the other.
I view it as entertainment, which it is. And it's also one of the greatest forms of storytelling available
I'm trying to come to grips with the fakery of soccer. Now you're going to tell me about wrestling. Oh, God.
The difference is soccer pretends to be real.
Yeah.
Right?
Wrestling doesn't.
It doesn't. That cat was out of the bag a long time ago.
Well, and I think, Richie, you said it nicely when... It's entertainment versus somebody watching the news to get educated and
right.
to learn things and learn about current events. Wrestling's just something you watch to, like, chill out and relax and just enjoy it.
It's sports.
Oh, I get emotional.
And it's a performance is what it is.
He's not relaxed.
Right? It's a performance is what it is, right? It's the same thing as going to see, like, a live band.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? That kind of a thing. It's just a sports performance instead of a musical performance.
Like, it's like going to see the Nutcracker and being like, oh, that girl really isn't, you know, a flower or
right,
whatever.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
not really a candy cane.
How can you watch that when you know she's not really a candy cane? You know how it's going to end.
Hulkamaniac. Hey, Richie, could you give me your best?
Dig it. Step into a Slim Jim.
Whoa.
God. You're sick.
Hey, Jerome, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Woo! 603-283-6160
if you'd like to join us here tonight. Jerome is a... I like Jerome as a caller.
That's a
good
one.
He's you know a good person in that way. I just he gets so caught up in the soap opera that is the news and politics.
You know what about Jerome? I feel like, I don't know him personally, but it seems like he's an honest person. He always seems very, like, forthcoming. And
he has what I call noble intent.
Yeah, so he seems like he's here to tell a story. It doesn't seem fabricated, or, you know, because, like, he didn't tell us, oh, I went to Harvard and I'm a genius. He's like, no, I didn't go to college and I'm just trying to do the best I can to educate myself. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunate because he's so obsessed with these politicians who are lying scumbags.
And he's got
he's better than that.
He's got some thoughts about what he's done in his life that I understand why he doesn't want to question them. But believing that joining the military was a good idea. Like, he believes that. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I was smart enough to get into the military.
Yeah, which...
And I'm like, I gotta beg to differ with you there, pal, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, was that really, like, becoming a mercenary for politicians? Like, was that really a smart thing for you to do?
Explains a lot, though.
It does.
Yeah. And I understand why he does it. Like, he feels that that is a personal accomplishment that, like, you know, people of his, you know, I don't know, level of, like, you know, his ability and intelligence or whatever, like, could not achieve. And he feels like, I'm special and I achieved something, you know, other people on my level of human being couldn't achieve. And that is, I got into the military. He feels that was a smart thing and an accomplishment. So I get that he doesn't want to question it and be like, was that really a good thing? Was it, what would my life have been like had I not done that? What could I have become other than that?
Okay, so in some situations, if you're a C-minus student in high school, right, the likelihood is not much better than that, right?
I don't think so.
You think coming out of high school at that level of education, there's more productivity to be done in the free market arena?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I didn't even finish my freshman year. I wandered the earth like Kane from Kung Fu. And by the time everybody else in my graduating class turned 18 and was either going to college or going to get the first jobs, I had 3, maybe 4 years of working experience on all of them. So I could go and get a job at a pay rate that was 3 to 4 years higher than what they could get at that time.
Well, but if they went out and went into the military, they would be also be getting 3 or 4 years of work under their belt just in the military. And you can make a career out of that, right?
Yeah,
and make significantly more money.
You can also do, like, HVAC or plumbing or anything
right.
that's
I was
going to
say, go take welding or carpentry or something. Right?
I mean,
you know,
learn a trade. I mean, they make good money.
Yeah.
And they're needed, and they're very useful.
Far more so than, you know, like, I get it. The military, like, marketed themselves to people. Like, oh, if you join now and you serve your 4 years or whatever, you couldn't get paid for college or whatever, right? You get free VA care for life and your retirement, like, blah, blah, blah.
Which is disgusting because, back to the lies, okay, sure, you get a free college. It's disgusting to poach young children because college is expensive and they just want to go to college. They're poaching them to, you know, this free education, whatever, promising them free health care, that is terrible.
Yeah.
You don't know how many horror stories I've heard about VA hospitals. It's all a lie. And then they come back with PTSD, depression, anxiety. They come back with, you know, drug addictions and alcohol addictions because they're just trying to cope
propensity
with what
for
they've
suicide.
Seen.
Yeah.
Yes, with what they've seen and what they, you know, so it's... It's a law. They don't tell you that.
We're an hour and a half into the show, so at least one and a half former military persons has committed suicide just in the time we've been hearing tonight.
Yeah.
Graduating with a C-minus GPA, you're not on a path to go to college.
Yeah, maybe not.
Right.
Community college would take you.
Maybe.
You could pay to go to a college.
But like I said, you could go to a trade.
Yeah.
You don't need to...
But trades require a little bit of education, man. You have
they are the education.
High school
What's
diploma.
That?
The trades are the education, right? You don't even need a GED to go to trade school.
Sure.
You can just find an apprenticeship.
You could find an apprenticeship, and you don't even need to go to the school. You could learn as an apprentice.
But if your ability to educate yourself in high school is like a C-minus level, how well are you actually going to do in that apprenticeship that requires a little bit of focus?
But it's different, you know, and that's the thing. What you're learning in high school, like high school in real life is so different because I was failing classes in high school because I was so unstimulated and I was so depressed there. Like I was having
different.
So many social issues. Once I finally, when I was 16 years old, I did a dual enrollment program, so I was taking college-level courses.
Yep.
Like right under college level, whatever. I was in a different environment. And I started getting A's, you know, like straight A's and B's.
Public schools will have you memorize and then recite to pass the test.
You know?
That's not an indication of your ability to self-teach.
There's nothing to do with critical thinking that you're learning in high school.
Okay.
I would argue that a lot of the trades... It's more critical thinking and, you know, logic and kind of just common sense stuff where you're really not being tested on that in high school, I don't think. At least not from my experience
in
high school.
You're being tested on your ability to recite, memorize and recite.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, okay. But it doesn't sound like in his case that was the problem. Right? Like I was getting a C- GPA in high school, right? Not that I didn't want to be there, not that I was bored or understimulated or overstimulated, but this is my level of education, right? And you're like, well, just go be a welder. Just go learn a trade.
Could
have. Possible.
Right.
Bricklaying, something. Right?
Or,
you know?
Yeah.
Something.
Understood.
Something to do.
You're right, it is something to do.
And like, we also don't know, like, what his talents are. Right, so we don't have a grip on, you know, what he had a propensity for, what he was good at. Was he good at math? Was he good at writing? Was he good at reading? Was he good at, you know, what was it that he was good at?
What was he getting a B in as opposed to averaging it out down to C?
Or even, not even, like, just think about outside of school, right? What did he have an interest in?
Okay.
Did he have an interest in, you know, astronomy? Did he have an interest in, you know, digging holes in the sandbox? I don't, you know, like, what was he interested in?
Sure.
And that's what should have led his learning, right? Whatever he was interested in should have led his learning.
Yeah.
And then he would have been able to learn all the other things along with that by pursuing what he was interested in instead of being forced to memorize and recite.
But if he had gone down that path, he would not have chose the military. Right?
We hope.
Obviously.
Yes. Obviously.
And that's really the point of what I'm saying here is that, like,
But the military will take someone with a C- GPA
yes.
because that is useful meat for the grinder.
Right.
Absolutely.
And in some cases, that's the best option those people have. Because if they had a better one,
I beg to differ.
Opportunity.
That
option.
Might be the worst option anyone has in any circumstance.
I beg to differ that, like,
then no one would take the option.
Well,
we know this from Chinese sweatshops. It's the best option those folks have in their situation and their circumstance. That's why they take.
I don't think so. I think that, but
right.
I don't know if that's the truth. I think, like, if Mothman was flying and he has his all-seeing eye, I think he would say that that's not the best option.
Yeah.
It's the best option presented to them.
They may believe it's the best option for them, but it may not actually be.
And if you're getting a C-
in high school, for them.
And the military goes, hey, after a few years, you'll be making X amount of money that there's no way you're going to get working your way through college or elsewhere, right? It's presented as the best option.
603-283-6160. Jerome has called famously again. What are your thoughts about his predicament and his situation? This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You and USA News, I'm Dave Collins. One person is dead. Several others are injured after a shooting near a New Year's Eve party in Alabama. Happened late Saturday night, just blocks from where people had gathered for a celebration in Mobile. Police responded to shots fired. A 24-year-old man was pronounced dead at the scene. No arrests have been made at this hour. Three police officers have been attacked and a suspect has been shot. It all happened near Times Square last night during the New Year's Eve celebration. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Officers responded in an admirable, professional manner.
There are reports that the rookie officer who just graduated Friday was working the New Year's Eve detail when he was approached by an individual who slashed him in the head with a machete. Northern California was shaken here on the first day of 2023. A 5.4 magnitude earthquake hit around 10:30 local time in Humboldt County. No report of injuries. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Straight winging it.
Whoa. Straight winging it.
Straight winging it.
Curve winging it.
What was it?
Curveball.
That, that Jerome was saying? He had a word for a wrestling. Is that a wrestling? Wrestling.
Oh. Yeah.
Wrestling. So we're straight winging it here on Free Talk Live. And by that I mean we've changed up our format a little bit so that you get more show and less commercials. And that's kicked off here today. On this particular episode, the New Year's Day episode, Happy New Year to, well, all of our callers, our hosts, co-hosts.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
And
Happy New Year.
All that kind of stuff. I do want to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bullion Max. Inflation is a real problem. The Federal Reserve's endless printing is eating away at your savings. Savvy investors are diversifying into the most stable assets in recorded history, gold and silver. Get yours from bullionmax.com/FTL without dealing with a salesperson. Your precious metals ship fully insured directly to your home. It's fast and it's easy. Free Talk Live listeners can get a special deal, employee pricing, on Bullion Max's Silver Starter Kit. Just go to bullionmax.com/FTL. The kit includes 5 ounces of silver from the world's most popular mints, plus you get a free gold back. It's my favorite part of this offer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, free gold back. Just go to bullionmax.com/FTL. It's the perfect time to invest in precious metals. So don't miss this limited time special offer. Start your new investment with bullionmax.com/FTL today. Right now. Go. You're in front of a magic rectangle. Go. Get your silver. bullionmax.com/FTL.
And gold. Thanks.
Free gold back. The telephone number here in the studio, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. We still have yet to talk about this guy who apparently was inspired by Office Space and did something with some software that got him $300,000 and into some trouble. We'll talk about that. But let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Dodger calling from Michigan. Dodger, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, lady and gentlemen. I'm not a big fan of centralized anything, especially sure. when it comes to education.
Cool, me
something
either.
Something that always struck me as odd, even when I was in school, I've always been a student, and I hope to die a student. If I'm not learning something new, then I'm not progressing. I'm not actually bettering my life. Having said that, I never understood why American students got 3 months off and you end up having to spend essentially the first month back to school catching up on everything you forgot over the summer.
That's a good point. I know that the school year is the way it is, supposedly, because back in the day when they first started these schools, they had to sort of cater to the farmers, and so you needed harvest season. You know,
fruit picking time.
It's actually crap. That's crap if you actually look at the history. But that's not the reason I'm calling. I specifically wanted to bring up.
Okay, well, but then why is summer?
There's usually nothing to do in the summer.
I mean, it's fine if you want to call, like, you know, if you're saying that what I just said is crap, but you got to tell us what it actually is.
Essentially it was because rich parents wanted to take their kids out of the heat over during that time. A lot of it had to do with that, or at least that's my understanding.
But they're inside, so how are they in the heat?
There's no air conditioners back then.
But then, if there's no air conditioners, then they're going to be hot.
No, I just wanted to,
typically, they would take them up north. Southern families, the richer families would typically take the kids up.
I don't mind being told that I'm wrong, but if I'm wrong, tell me what is, you know, what the thing is. And so that gives me something to look at, Dodger. Thank you. Go ahead and continue with what.
And that's my understanding, and I apologize.
No, that's fine. Just go ahead and continue with what you were calling tonight.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm not a big fan of centralized, but the Japanese system seems as if there's something about Japanese people, their culture, they're very proud of who they are.
Yes.
A gas station attendant is the proudest gas station attendant. He has to be the best. Or their culture, they want to be the best. And their educational system kind of reflects that because it kind of recognizes early on. So essentially, a Japanese high school doesn't exist for all Japanese people. Essentially, all it is college prep. A lot of times what will happen is after about the middle school or junior high school age, they typically determine, and maybe a lot of it's self-learning, I don't know, but this person is way more interested in trades. And so they're pumping out a lot more tradespeople than necessarily in addition to, obviously, you need, the STEM, you need the sciences, you need the mathematics, you need a lot of that stuff. But the problem is everybody wants to work in the corner office and nobody wants to take the blue collar jobs. And it just seems that there should be a system in which I guess right around the middle school age, somebody determines what they really want to do. Do I want to focus on preparing myself for college, prepping for college?
Or, I'm with you, and I think that person should be the individual themselves.
Well, and I kind of have a solution for this. So I like the idea of shadowing.
Mm-hmm.
So if a kid shows interest in something, as they do very, very early on, and then they kind of... I think public school kind of crams all this stuff down their throat, and then they start to second-guess themselves. And they're like, maybe I don't want to be an astronaut. Maybe now I want to be a school teacher or whatever.
Yep.
Whether they're becoming more realistic, because it might not be very common that someone's going to become an astronaut, right? Every little kid that's like, I want to be a doctor or an astronaut. Maybe they're getting more realistic, but maybe they're also, like, their creativity is being dimmed. So I like the idea of, you know, if a kid wants to be an astronaut, like, or even something else, like, whatever it is, allow them to shadow that profession so they can, in real life, see what's going on and see if they actually like it. Because, for example, I know someone who went to school for psychology,
mm-hmm.
went all the way through, got into, because to do much with psychology, you kind of need a master's degree. By the time she got to the master's program, she said, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going to be doing. I had no clue that this career path that I was picking was like this.
Right.
At this point, she's hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and drops out of grad school because she realized she didn't want to do that, but she never had the opportunity to shadow someone to see what that job actually was.
I like the idea. I know when I was in school, at least, you know, the high school students, like the seniors, they would have a career day.
Yeah.
And they'd get people of different, you know, professions to come in and talk about their profession. I like your idea. Go the other way. Instead
yeah.
of having them come to the school and talk about,
yeah,
have the students
to
go to them
yeah.
and do, you know, a day of apprenticeship or a day of, you know, that kind of a thing to see. And there's also something about changing your mind.
Yep.
Right?
Well, I thought it was crazy, if I may interject.
Go
ahead. When I was in school, I remember career day. I actually had one of those.
Yeah.
And I'd been in really interested in carpentry. I, you know, the whole building, everything about it. And they essentially, instead of doing that, you took like a little test at the beginning of the day, and they said, oh, based on your aptitude. And essentially they thought that I'd be better as like an accountant or something like that.
You may have been better, just wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Yeah, and guess what I am today? I'm a carpenter. I tried going the route of business and all of that, but I ended up choosing the path that I had always wanted to
yeah.
choose at that point. And I would have loved to have just had the opportunity, as you mentioned, shadowing somebody. That sounds like a great idea, but with the modern educational system, that's just not going to be the reality
well,
for most
and
people.
John Taylor Gatto was doing it in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that guy is brilliant. If you've not read any John Taylor Gatto, I implore you to do, not just you, Dodger, all of our listeners, all of our hosts. The guy is brilliant, and in fact, he says that genius is actually relatively common. It's just that the education system that we have beats it out of you.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with that. And, yeah, I don't know. I think there isn't... I'm a very huge critic of public school because I think there isn't really much room for children to grow.
Yeah.
And on the topic of the shadowing thing, Dodger mentioned that it would be hard in the public schooling system to do that. And that's why we need to take our children out of the public schooling system, either homeschool them, you know, homeschooling co-ops, or I don't think private schools are much better than homeschool than public schools. I mean, but it is totally there are so many people. I mean, I would be willing to do that in my field of midwifery because.
Well, I mean, just think about it. About the time that you can really, I imagine sometime when I was in middle school, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, where it's like I've learned everything that I need to from the system to be able to then maybe actually start, you know, instead of spending every day in a classroom, spend
Absolutely.
It in a shop class. Or, you know, if you want to become a mechanic, go, you know, to a mechanic shop or whatever. It sounds like a fantastic idea.
So I have a question for you guys, because I know you're all from different parts of the country. Are vocational schools common other places? Or because vocational schools are very common in New England. Almost every like school district has a vocational school that kids can go to where like half of their time is doing normal high school stuff.
Yeah.
And then half of their time is learning a trade.
They don't have
like
they don't have the marketing program, though, that colleges do. Colleges send recruits to the high schools,
yeah.
but, you know, that kind of thing. Trade schools do not.
They did at my school.
I graduated in 01, and they had pretty much gutted. We had to, if anybody wanted to do any of those vocational stuff, they had to get some sort of clearance and actually go to a different neighboring school system to actually be able to do that.
So a buddy of mine wanted to be a welder This is in Hawaii. And so he apprenticed, did the thing, you know, as a welder.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to move up the ladder, had to go get his welding certification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Went all the way to Ohio or something, where the best welding school in the country was, to do it there, because there wasn't an adequate enough educational system in Hawaii for that particular vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent 6 months in Ohio.
Getting his certification?
Right.
Yeah.
And then went back to Hawaii to get paid better.
I think, going back to the educational part for a minute, we've seen lots of progress in homeschooling and certain, I want to say charter schooling, but that might not be the right bit, where they do what's called self-directed learning, where children are, you know, put in a room with a bunch of different stuff and the internet and all that kind of stuff, and the, we'll call them teachers, it's got to be a better name, the mentors, if you will, are there to observe the kids, and when the kids show an interest in a specific thing, like the kid looks around and is like, oh, look, a guitar, picks up a guitar, shows some interest in the guitar, well, guess what? You're going to learn math, learning about guitar, you're going to learn reading, you're going to learn a different language, it's called music, right? All these things can be taught, learned, internalized by a child far better and quicker than they can when somebody is sitting in rows and, you know, with a taskmaster and a stick and a chalkboard, because the child is showing interest in it, and it's just they're motivated to learn about it because they have the self-interest in this particular topic, whereas school beats that out of you. They don't encourage you to find stuff that you're interested in. No, they want to shove stuff down your throat, make you memorize and repeat.
It beats it out of some people because, as Dodger said, he knew early on kind of what he wanted to do and was deviated from that path. But not everyone is lucky enough to know what they want to do or have the opportunity to figure that out early on.
That's where shadowing comes in, where you can just go to different jobs and, you know, be able to watch that person in their element.
This may be a suggestion that's... I'm just going to tell you what I did. And if anybody's listening, if you're between, I don't know, 16 and 25 years old, something like that, perhaps this is something you can consider. I did something that's known as job hopping for many years in a row. And all this was because when you first start to get jobs, you're only going to get entry-level jobs, where basically they'll hire anybody that seems rather competent, that they think is trainable at whatever the task is.
Graduate with a
C-minus, right? So in order to find out what you like, what you're interested in, you got to go take a bunch of them. And so you take it, and you get in there, and you do the thing, and you go, yeah, you know, this sucks. And even if I stayed and I moved up, it would still suck. So I'm going to quit, and I'm going to go find something else. And then you do that, and you rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. So you find something that you gravitate towards. And once you find that thing, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm home. Right? For me, it just happened to be technology. Yeah. Right, and I'm like, oh, something where I'm never going to get bored. It's relatively fast-paced. I get to solve puzzles, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, these are all things that I gravitated towards that I was naturally good at, whereas school never brought that out of me.
Nope.
Not once.
Well, I can say that I it was always strange that I was in the advanced math classes and not in the advanced science classes. Those usually went hand in hand, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because I didn't retain anything that I actually learned in school. I didn't, even though I was acing geometry and trig tests and all of that, I learned a whole hell of a lot more from actually being out there and doing the carpentry work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably true for most people.
Yeah.
It's difficult being in school where you're just memorizing and regurgitating information. It's, you know, check the right answer on the test, but you're not actually, I think like Captain mentioned with the guitar, there's so much more value in learning through doing, because you're not just learning that one thing. You're going to learn about math and all of these other subjects in one. And I think children are able to absorb that so much more, and they're able to remember it and carry that on for way longer, because whatever tests I was taking in high school where I had to check the right box, I might have got 100 on it in high school, but I don't remember that now. But if it was something like learning how to play the guitar, I would have remembered those concepts.
And there is a subset of the population that is only qualified to stand in the factory for 8 hours and pull the lever when the bell goes off.
I can't do that factory work. Hey, thanks for answering my phone call, guys. I really appreciate the discussion.
Hey, Dodger, thanks for the call tonight. We appreciate you. The other thing, I can't say enough about self-directed learning. Like, you have to take it upon yourself. You're probably going to find, if you're a kid in public school right now, you're going to find yourself in a situation where, yeah, you know, you're being coerced, if you will, into memorization and regurgitation. You know, you got to do things to pass the tests. If there is any advantage that you can take in your school system, take it. You know, if there's some program that, like, you know, your teachers are like, hey, you should go over here and do this, maybe do that. But figure out what you're into first and foremost outside of school and begin learning that way. They say, I'm trying to remember what the numbers are. I don't have them in front of me, but it only takes, I don't know, less than a couple hundred hours for most, we'll say, grade school children to learn reading and writing and basic math, right? So it doesn't take very long. Outside of that, what are schools doing?
Babysitting.
Yeah.
Well, mastery is closer to 10,000 hours.
Correct, but that's in a specific thing.
Right.
Right. So if you got reading, writing, and arithmetic down, and now you want to become a welder, you got 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours.
Before you're a welder, right, or an expert at it.
Master welder.
Master welder. Anything else, right? So that's, I think that's when these trades and these learning opportunities for other things should come along, is after the children have got the basics down. You got reading, writing, and arithmetic. You got those down. What now? What are you interested in? And that's when this sort of assisted, self-directed learning should come into play. But that's not what public schools do. Public schools just want the C-minus students who are just smart enough to pull the levers and turn the wheels to keep the system going.
But some of them would remain there with, regardless of the schooling system.
Sure.
Which is fine. But I think it's holding all of the other children back.
Absolutely.
And I think kids know what they want to do a lot of the times pretty early on. Like my little cousin, my cousin's child, is maybe like 4 years old. This kid already knows what he wants to do. He's obsessed with trucks. He's obsessed with any sort of, like, heavy machinery. Like, he's totally going to go into a field like that where he's operating. Maybe. You know, this is my guess. But this kid can tell you every single detail about, you know, certain construction things that adults don't even know. He is so interested in it, and his parents let him flourish in that, and they let him, you know, go all in to learn about that.
There's another thing, too, with parental units, because I had a whole bunch of them. My childhood life was so weird that I ended up with, like, five different sets of parents. And so each one of them themselves had a different thing they wanted me to become.
Sure.
That I did not select. I did not share their enthusiasm for these things. And each of them in their own way would push me towards what they wanted me to become instead of what I wanted to become or what I was even good at.
Yeah.
And so there's a parental aspect here, too, that needs to change in the dynamic of learning, and that is parents want to live vicariously through their children instead of allowing their children to become themselves. That makes sense.
I see that happen all the time. A lot, and it's more prevalent in other cultures, but I know a lot of my friends who they were like, well, I have to become a doctor or a lawyer because that's what my parents want me to be. Everyone in my family is a doctor, and if I become anything less than that, then my family will essentially disown me. You know, and that's very strong in like Indian cultures sometimes and Chinese cultures sometimes, where it's just like, if you don't become what your parents want you to become, then you're trash. And it's terrible. Children should just be able to be themselves and do what they love and enjoy. It doesn't matter how much money you make, and it doesn't matter how prestigious your career is. You should just want your children to be happy. And it's very disappointing that not every parent has that perspective.
And they should be able to change their minds mid-stride.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's why listening to this show and shows like it in particular are beneficial to those parents, right? Because you got the inside track, right? If you get your kids out of public school and on some sort of shadowing program or homeschooling program, they're going to be ahead of the pack, right?
Absolutely.
So even during, you know, like the lockdown phase, like, okay, good. Homeschool them all.
Yeah.
Right? Take advantage of this time, right, to get them out of that environment so they don't get stuck with it.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, I wouldn't encourage everyone to do it, right? Because then there's still just equal footing.
The good news is, of course, even though you know most of the restrictions and lockdowns and all that kind of thing, unmasking, all that kind of thing have been lifted in most places, homeschooling continues to increase in number of students. So that is to say, we did a bit on, I don't know if it was last week, on Free Talk Live Saturday maybe,
okay.
Where we talked about the fact that, oddly, even though you know public school is back in session and everybody can go, homeschooling is increasing.
I think because families realize, like, before homeschooling seemed like this unattainable thing. Like, we can't afford it, we can't do it, we don't have the means to be able to homeschool our children.
Right.
And a lot of people realized during the pandemic that it is attainable, and it's oftentimes easier, better for their children, and better for even the parents' lifestyle sometimes. And it's never been easier to homeschool your kids. There are slews of online programs. There are tons of homeschooling co-ops.
Right, I was going to say cooperatives are...
I take the kids on Tuesday, and then, you know, all you need is seven families to be able to make that work, and you just got one day off a week, there it is. So there are just tons of different options that work great for kids, and it's not going to work great for every kid.
Right.
Some kids want to be in public school, and well, that's fine, too.
And there's parents who say things like, oh, we could never afford to do that, we're a two-income family, and it's like, could you, though?
Yeah,
like, could you instead of, you know, your mortgage, your $3,000 mortgage, could you instead pay $1,500, $1,800 a month for a decent-sized apartment so that one of you doesn't have to work? Like, could it be done? Could you pinch the pennies for the sake of your children?
Yeah.
Your child's education? You know, can you cut back just to make sure one parent's available to do the homeschooling?
Mm-hmm. Depends on the child. Again, it's not for everybody.
I understand.
It is for like a privileged select group of people that can handle
it. I don't know
about that. Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of low-income families that homeschool. And
well, not homeschooling. I'm saying a privileged select group of people that environment works for.
John Taylor, I gotta agree with you.
I think homeschooling works. I don't have like actual statistics or numbers, but if I were to guess, I think homeschool would be better for the majority of children. And from what I've seen, you know, I know a lot of kids. I know homeschool kids. I know public school kids. I know private school kids. It seems like the homeschool kids are the most intelligent and the most well adjusted out of the bunch.
Yeah, but I think that's correlation, not all only causation.
603-283-6160. What do you think? Homeschooling? Private schooling? Public schooling?
All of the above.
What's in your child's best interest? This is Free Talk Live. Hour number 3 is next.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.